I want to say we appreciate thee.
And to be with you all, and it really has been an honor. It's always good to see folks that you've seen before and getting to know, and what a blessing. It's okay, Sam. You don't have to worry about feeding us tomorrow, okay? I could stand to lose a little weight anyway. But I'll tell you, it's amazing. And, you know, when I pastored, when there were times that I was out of town, those were times that God's people would play and not come. So I want to commend you for being here today, even though your pastor is out of town. Now, I know you're thinking, well, Sam's here. He would report it to the pastor. But I'm serious, and it was exciting this morning. It's always exciting to have visitors. It always is. And then for a couple of people to trust the Lord, oh, man, that's shouting ground, you know. So one of the things as a pastor, and I think as a child of God, we need to be encouraged. And the book of Proverbs is a great book. The book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, is Solomon, who was the son of David. Solomon is trying to prepare his son, Rehoboam, for the throne. You young people always, and you kids, always be thankful for your parents who were willing to give you instruction to prepare you for life. I'll get in trouble for this. But part of the reason we're having so many problems out there in America today is because there were some parents who did not do what they should have done. They did not instruct their children. Let me tell you this. If you don't instruct them according to the Word of God, the world will. And it'll pull them their direction. I have to also tell you that the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's important. It doesn't say he won't go wrong. It's not saying he won't do wrong. It's saying that he will never forget what he has been taught. I know our daughter did that for us, and she made some bad choices. You know, preachers' kids aren't perfect. Sam. No, they aren't. Sometimes there's a target on their back, not only by the devil. Please take this as it's meant. Sometimes it's from the people of the church. When I pastored in Johnson, Kansas, we had a gal that was in the church. I don't believe she was saved. I don't know that for sure because I'm not God. But she had it out for our kids because she didn't like me. I don't know why. I'm such a likable person. Just don't understand that. So we had a bus, and our kids played on the bus. They'd sit on the bus and act like there was somebody be in the driver's seat, and the others would get in the seats, and they act like they were going to Sunday school. And she would shush them off the bus. You know, they weren't supposed to be on there. And then one time she accused our oldest son of taking syrup, I believe it was. Glue. And putting it all over the keys of the piano in the Sunday school building. There was only one problem. Our son wasn't there. He was up in Garden City, Kansas, helping with harvest. So there's no way he could have done it. I'm just saying that there are times that we need to understand that we need to instruct our kids and be thankful for preachers' kids. You know why preachers' kids act the way they do, don't you? Because they learn from the deacons' kids. So, the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, is Solomon trying to teach Rehoboam and prepare him for the throne. We'll not get through this chapter, but there's a lot here. In chapter 2, begin with me. In verse number 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding? Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Father, thank you for such a great day today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for who you are. What an honor it is to serve you. Not only the blessing to cry, as you teach us in Scripture, that we can cry out, Abba, Papa, Father. But Father, we want to thank you for your instruction to us. Thank you for your correction. Thank you for the things that you give us and direct us in and teach us and the blessings. I'm sort of like the song that was written, our cup runneth over, and we're just drinking from the saucer. And so we thank you for your blessings and thank you for each one who's here tonight. If there should happen to be somebody here tonight who's biblically never been born again, we pray they'd get saved. Nobody's going to push them to it, but we just pray they'd see they have a need of Jesus. And there's no hope for heaven without Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for those of us who are saved, instruct us, encourage us, guide us, direct us. And if there's anything in our life that would hinder our walk with you, help us to get rid of it and to bring it to you and confess it. You tell us in your word that you'll forgive us our sins if we'll confess them. And you'll put them as far away as the east is from the west. So, Father, we just ask that you'd have your will and your way tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'll not keep you a long time. We really ought to be out of here by about 8:15 Central Time. I heard some of you going, I love the book of Proverbs. And there is so much in here. This chapter 2, talks about wisdom's protection. Young people, never shut yourself off from learning words of wisdom. Cowboy words of wisdom, never squat with your spurs on, especially if they're pointed Mexican spurs, or if they come from Argentina where they're really sharp. My dad always gave me a lot of words of wisdom. I don't even remember all of them, but I do remember some of them. And, you know, when I'd leave the door open to the screen door and the door open to the house, he would always say, what's the matter with you, son? Were you born in a barn? Shut the door. And that was words of wisdom. I tried to pass that on to our kids. Matter of fact, there's a booklet my wife wrote about our oldest son, and it's called You Didn't Shut the Door, Did You, Boone? He was notorious for not shutting the back door. We'd get flies and dogs and everything else that would come in. So we staged it so that I sort of, we prepared it by telling him about a bear had gotten into the house. Of course, I was waiting around the corner so I could scare the snot out of him. He always remembered to shut the door after that. There are words of wisdom that we need to learn. Listen, when your parents or an adult tries to share some wisdom with you, I mean seriously sharing wisdom, do not spurn the wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 it's talking about the spiritual bodyguard for the believer, which is wisdom. Verses 1 through 4 are conditions for acquiring wisdom. I love verse 1, first of all, because it says, my son. There are so many times that it says, my son, in the book of Proverbs, because that's who he was talking to. He was acknowledging the relationship, but he was trying to get his attention. Listen, I always knew that my sisters had gotten me in trouble. You'll get that later. That my sisters had gotten me in trouble whenever my mom used my full name. I knew I was in for it. But I knew to sit up and listen. When that full name was used, I knew I needed to pay attention because my sisters had done something. And really, they didn't do that most of the trouble, in trouble, mostly by myself. But sometimes they did help. There was one time that I was getting ready to go upstairs and our youngest sister was coming downstairs. I just went past her going upstairs to my room. And my baby sister, my little sister Jeannie, said, Dad, Greg's hitting me again, and I got a licking. I didn't touch her, but boy, I wanted to afterwards. You know, but there are things that I've learned. My dad taught me a lot about working with horses, more than I will ever remember. But when he did, he was preparing me for the ministry. Because working with people and pastoring people is like working with horses. You know, they don't like the bit. They don't like the head stall. They don't like the bridle. Trying to throw it off. They always get a burr under their saddle. You know, I mean, I never realized it until I was pastoring. So Solomon is addressing his son and says, my son. And then there's a word of choice that follows that. Just a two-letter word, if. It's a word of decision. I mean, we're talking about that we must make a decision on what we're going to do with the instruction that God gives us. Sometimes we as God's people shut off our spiritual hearing aids. Or as our kids used to do, when I was giving them instruction and had them before me and telling them what needed to be done, it was like they had this glaze come over their eyes. And the ear ports to their ears were opening because it was going in one ear and right through to the other ear and out. They were checking out. They weren't listening. We do that to God sometimes. We don't get into his word. We don't listen to what he's trying to tell us. And God's trying to prepare us for what's coming. Hey, listen, you look through the word of God and you see God's preparation for us in this day and age for the things that are ahead of us. And how we're to handle it and how we're to respond to it. You know, we know people that have their survivalists. I'm not against survival, but I got to thinking, and I told Sandy for a while, I said, maybe we ought to stock up on, well, you can't stock up on a whole lot of things in a fifth wheel. We don't have room to carry it all. And so someone told us they had, they had 10 carton or cases of water. They had so many different, I mean, they had all this stuff. And I thought, my thought was this, as a child of God, we're not to run away from the world. We're to go toward them. We're to advance toward them because who has been given the honor to tell them about Jesus? We have. It's hard to tell them when we're running away. We can't shout it behind us. It's hard for them to hear. So we need to not be running away from the world. We need to be prepared for taking our stand in the battle. We need to be prepared for the things that are coming down the pike. We need to understand that there's going to be persecution coming, and we've not seen persecution yet. But it's coming. We see what's happening in all the pro-life buildings that are being torched and destroyed because of the Supreme Court's decision. I applaud them. I said that this morning. I'm thankful for that. But it's amazing how many hissy fits are being thrown. I'm just amazed. So he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. The first thing that we must be is receptive. We have to be willing to receive it. This is exciting, kids, because and young people, because that means we get an opportunity to learn. You know, there are senior living centers that are filled with people who have nobody anymore. They would love to have somebody, and you can now start going into those again, but they would love to have somebody come and sit down with them and learn wisdom from them. Amazing. He said, if thou wilt receive my words, we must be receptive. And then he says this in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. It's telling us we must be responsive. Not just receptive, but responsive. You know, if we learn all the wisdom in the world and never apply it, it's worthless. We must apply wisdom. We must learn and put that to practice in our life. When I was growing up, I'm thankful my dad taught me how to be a man, not a sissy. I'm thankful my dad taught me how to be responsible. I'm thankful my dad taught me that if you're going to work a job, you don't give them 10%, you give them 110%. I said it this morning, he said, don't shame our name. I was representing my father, my grandfather, those before us, my grandparents, my grandfathers, and my dad. And I'm telling you, to take pride in what you are doing and do the job well. And if you get done with your job, find something else to do. Not sit and twiddle your thumbs. We need a lot of young men who need to, a lot of young people who need to learn that today. Be thankful if your parents take time to teach you responsibility. Don't ever begrudge feeding the hogs or feeding the dogs or cats or, I know this is going to be cussing, or sweeping the floors. I mean, now, if you've got one of those remote controlled things, it'll do the sweeping for you. You know what I'm talking about? That little thing that you program it and it'll go through it. That doesn't work in a fifth wheel either. So we have to do it the old-fashioned way. But be thankful if your parents teach you. When I was growing up, oh, I know the kids are going to say, oh, boy, here we go. Old people's language again. No, I didn't ride a horse to school. Well, once I did because my dad let me. And then when our son graduated high school, on his last day of school, he said, Dad, can you have some horses over here at the school? I want to ride them down to Emerald Boulevard to the Sonic and go through drive-through. So we did. That was a blast. But I didn't walk 3 miles to school. I rode a bus. But I'm going to tell you the things that I learned I could pass on to my kids. Learn the responsibility of work. Learn how to do things. And then to teach them about the Lord. I'm telling you, it's just the things that we look at, that we incline our ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. The word heart here is found 80 times in 79 verses in the book of Proverbs. The heart. We can listen with our ears, but we need to let the channel go down to our heart. and apply with our heart. We need to then do in verse number 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. There's that decision word again. There's another decision. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. We must be resolute in our life. Listen, I'm going to tell you, as he's teaching Rehoboam, I think Rehoboam checks out pretty early. Say, how do you know that? Just read about Rehoboam. When he took over the throne, I know this is the S word that teachers don't like for kids to use, but he was so stupid because he didn't listen to his father. He didn't heed the instruction. Hey, do you know that Solomon was responding and teaching him things that his father had taught him? He also was teaching him about some things as you read through here, especially when it gets down to the strange women and things. And he had a fault with that, but he was trying to warn Rehoboam. Listen, from experience, let me tell you, beware and be careful. When adults pass on wisdom, don't throw it off to the side. Mull it over and ask God to show you how much of that is profitable and how much of that you don't need to listen to. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God's word and your parents, you need to listen. So then in verses 5 through the end of the chapter, it deals with not just the conditions, but the consequences of acquiring wisdom. I want to say this about verse number 4 real quick. If I told you that underneath one of these chairs, there was a $100 bill that was taped underneath one of these chairs. Some of you might not even wait till the end of the service to get down on your hands and knees and start searching. If I told you that in the building or someplace outside the building, or if I told you that there was a bag hidden that had thousands of dollars in it, it's amazing what we will do to search for treasure. And yet we won't open up that Bible. And that's the greatest treasure there is. To heed the wisdom that God would teach us and to be instructed and taught. Listen, I'm going to tell you, in life we need to heed God's word. I don't know how many times he said to the people, to his people, hearken unto me. Even Solomon said that to Rehoboam, hearkeneth, hearken. That I know that's a big word, and that's an old word that just simply means listen up, y'all. That's what God wants us to do, is listen, to hear what he's saying. As a matter of fact, there was one point in Scripture I'm trying to remember. I believe it was in Jeremiah that God's people said, we will not listen. And that's what we do. You say, well, I didn't say that, but our life does when we don't heed God's word. So we begin in verse number 5. It says, then once we seek the word of God and search for wisdom as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We need to learn, in verses 5 through 8, we need to learn how to delight in the Lord. Okay, let me tell you a little bit of what's missing today. We're missing the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about cowering and going, oh no, he's going to beat me again. Well, he may beat you, but he's going to take you out behind the spiritual woodshed to do that. And that's to apply the hand, spiritual hand of knowledge to the spiritual seat of education. He's not to be feared in the sense of fearing how powerful he is. But the word fear here is a word of awe and complete and ultimate respect. There's none of that. The sad thing is there's not a lot of that in the lives of God's people. We don't fear the Lord anymore. We really just don't even recognize him like we ought to in our life. If we're going to have wisdom, we need to come to that point that we understand that his wisdom, his counsel, everything about him is holy, and we ought to have such great respect for who he is. sometimes we respect people of the world more than we respect God. I will tell you this, as a pastor, sometimes I was respected more as a pastor by lost people than I was by church people. That's sad. Now, God gave us the opportunity to win some of those people to the Lord and lead them to the Lord. When we were in Johnson, Kansas, I joined the rodeo club. Oh, why would a pastor do that? Because there were people there that need to get saved. So I became a part of the rodeo club and was at their meetings. I announced their Sunday afternoon, rather than taking a snooze in my recliner, I went down the rodeo arena and announced their kids' day. And when time came for services, I told them, bring my sound system back to me. I've got church tonight. Well, we did that. I sang the national anthem for our rodeo that we had. After I got done singing it in the middle arena, put the wireless mic in my back pocket, which belonged to me, and put it in the back pocket and worked bucking chutes. God gave me an opportunity. Long story short, there was a man that worked for the co-op there. And I'm telling you, it's just the way God worked. We were there for 4 years. Mike Horton was his name, and he worked for the co-op, and so I invited him to go hunting with me. I asked our people to pray because I knew Mike wasn't saved, and I wanted him to get saved, but I also said, please pray he brings the subject up so he cannot say he forced the subject on me. So all the way up where we were going to hunt, and it was such a foggy day that day. We couldn't see a deer if it had crossed right in front of us. But we were there. And so finally we decided, we didn't see anything. We decided, let's go to town and let's go grab something to eat. And while we were sitting down, after the waitress came and took our order, he asked me a question. And I got 2 hours to witness to him. He didn't get saved, but I got to witness. So we go back because we decided it's so foggy, there's no sense finishing the day out hunting. So we went back to Johnson, and he worked with one of the men of the church. So he told Ron Clodfelter, he told him, he said, you know, I knew Greg was a pastor, a preacher. I knew he was going to talk about church. But do you know that all he ever talked about was hunting? He said, I finally couldn't take it anymore. I had to bring the subject up. That was an answer to prayer. Mike didn't get saved. We resigned the church, went to Amarillo. God moved us there. 12 years later, I got to go back and preach a revival meeting. And I asked the pastor, my friend, Brother Kissel, I said, is Mike still in town? He said, yeah, he's got an insurance agency downtown. I said, can we go see him? He said, sure. So we walked in, and Mike's back was to me when I walked into his office. And I said, Mike Horton. He turned around and said, Greg Wagoner, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, listen, ever since that day you talked to me, he said, I realize I need to get saved. So I led him to the Lord right there in his office. And I said, why didn't you call me? I would have driven 4 hours to come back up here. He says, I don't know, but I just need to get saved. And so, man, I'm telling you, that was exciting. Listen, we need to understand that God will give us opportunities to honor him if we'll just make it a point to honor God. Man, our time is already gone. Don't look at the clock. I'm watching it. Or I might have to give your pastor a sign that says, remember Lot's wife. Anyway. We need to learn to delight in the Lord. Make him the pleasure of our life. When we read his word, to be excited about what we read. I don't know about you. I shared this with someone this morning. Sometimes it's like God highlights something in my Bible overnight, and I see it for the first time. I've never seen it before. I don't know how many times we've read through the book of Proverbs. We read through it every month. I don't know how many years we've been doing this. I know it's when I was still pastoring, we started doing this. And it's amazing. I'll find a word or something, and sometimes I have to go back after I finish reading my chapter, because I've got to search out a word or search out what God was saying and how that applies in my life. Listen, there's some great treasures in here. Young people, there's some great treasures in here. Make this a part of your day every day. And learn from God's word about how great God is. Solomon tried to pass that on. 31 chapters directed at Rehoboam. And God directs it at us as his child. We don't need to be like Rehoboam. When the time came, Rehoboam did not listen. He sought the counsel of those who were his peers instead of the counsel of the wise. And he made stupid choices that led to his downfall. You know, we always found it amazing. And young people, I'm not trying to pick on y'all, but you're sitting up here close, so I get my chance. When we used to go to camp, Silver State Baptist Youth Camp in Sedalia, Colorado, as a pastor as well as a youth pastor, I was amazed at the teenagers who would not go to counsel, get counsel from the adults, but they would go ask their peers the same age who were going through the same struggles they were, how to handle it. Why not ask somebody who's been there already? Why not seek counsel of somebody who's already walked that path? So you need to learn from those who are older than you and not just 1 or 2 years. You need to learn from those who've walked down the path, who've walked the way and heard some things and had some things happen and learned some things not to do. And when they pass that on, listen, if you'll do it this way, you'll find it's just a little bit better. Or if you'll learn this verse and learn what God's trying to say, it'll help you. Don't spurn that. Learn from that and you'll be wiser. Don't do what Rehoboam did. Don't turn a deaf ear to your heavenly Father. Listen to God. I mean, when we look at the rest of this, and I'll just give you this to you in a nutshell. He talks about the need for constructive respect and to see the wisdom so that we not only delight in the Lord, but it brings us to verses 9 through 22, which we'll not go through, but it shows a deliverance that God gives. Because he says in verse 9, then. That word then encompasses the verses just before, when we have done those things that God has instructed us, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. You know, we ought to delight in God's word. We ought to delight in the Lord. We ought to look forward to what God teaches us in his word, the way that God teaches us to walk, the things that we ought to do. And listen, you're going to be faced with temptations. All of us are faced with temptations. And we need to realize the devil doesn't put those temptations in front of us to help us. He puts those in front of us to hurt us. And if we choose that temptation, and it's our choice, if we choose to follow the temptation, it's going to bring damage to our life and to our testimony. But if we choose God over the temptation, it brings honor. I can tell you, you remember in Daniel chapter 3? Remember when, I'll use the Chaldean names, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with bowing to the idol that the king built? They chose not to do what everybody else was doing. They honored God, and God honored them. As a matter of fact, I won't get into the whole thing, but remember, when it was told, and they were of the kingdom and involved in the kingdom, and the king got mad because they wouldn't do it. They said, "We're not bowing down." So he told them to stoke the fire, you know, a lot more. And those men who threw them in the fire who stoked the fire were burnt up. So when he gets up and finally looks into the fire, there's a shocked look on his face. I would like to have been just standing off to the side watching this. And he said, "Didn't we throw in three? Yea, O king. Well, there's a fourth, and he's likened unto the Son of God." You want to know why? Because God was there protecting them. Because they honored God. And they honored God in such a way, hold on now, I'm almost done, that it changed the king's heart. Because when they came out, that didn't smell like smoke. They weren't singed. I mean, the protective hand of God was upon them. And he made a decree. I don't know if they tore that. You know, I never did read if they tore the statue down. I wouldn't doubt it. But I'll tell you what decree he made. From now on, their God is the only God. They changed their heart. I'm just saying, Rehoboam, had he learned, it would have been a different outcome. But we need to learn from the outcome and learn what Solomon was telling his son. God is trying to instruct us. So this isn't just for, well, all of us are young people. Anybody in here 1,000 years old? So we're all young people. I know we feel older because our body talks to us about the way we abused it over the years. But we're God's kid if we're saved. And we need to learn what God wants us to learn. Father, I come before you tonight, and I know this has been more of a teaching message and an instruction message. But Father, I know I need it. And I know in my walk, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. And I pray that you would help us to learn and help us to know how you want us to walk. Father, if there's somebody here tonight who's not born again, who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I'm praying and asking that they would seek somebody out and say, just pull them aside, even come and see me if they want and say, "Listen, can I talk to you for just a moment? I want to know this Jesus. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven." And I just pray that would happen. And then, Father, for those of us who are saved, may we not be disobedient children. May we not close our ears and our heart to you. But Father, may we open up our heart and receive your word and apply it, respond to it in our life. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much to give us instruction. You don't want us to walk the way of the world. You know that the right way to walk is to walk according to your word, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the instruction you give us. Help us to abide by it and walk according to it, so that we might honor and glorify your holy name. Now guide and direct in each life tonight, Father, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.